You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Today's episode of Locked On Phoenix Suns is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Breaking down another playoff preview here on today's episode of Locked On Phoenix Suns. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I am your host, Brendan Kleen. I cover the Suns and the NBA at SB Nation and Dime Magazine, and you can follow me on Twitter at BrendanKleen14. You can follow, most importantly, our show at Locked On PHX Suns on Twitter, where you can tell me why Torrey Craig should have played more against the Clippers. Yes, that is exactly what we're getting into tonight. The Suns 113-103 loss to Los Angeles on the second night of a back-to-back against those Clippers. So we will start with the defining stretch of the game, the big story of the game, a couple of the positives, because there are plenty from this one. Do not be mistaken there. This was a back-and-forth game. The Suns were tight all night, and Kawhi Leonard, Rajon Rondo, and Paul George just closed it. That's no problem. There are plenty of positives to talk about. And then we'll close the show with a snippet from my locker room conversation with Brandon, our at Zona on Twitter. You know him. He's here every single Monday. I want to play you our locker room chat that we did live post-game right after the buzzer to close out the show, because that was my instant off-the-cuff reactions. Brandon was in there as well, answered a couple questions, and just chatted about the past two games and the playoffs and everything else. So I'll close the show with that. Stay tuned till the end for that one. But let's dive into the defining moment of the game. It actually starts with the Reggie Jackson injury. He seemingly got poked in the eye or scratched or something by Torrey Craig with 9 minutes left in the game, and that's where we jump in. The Clippers had a meager lead. They were up two heading into the fourth quarter. Nothing really major happened until this injury. And what it did is, yeah, Reggie Jackson got hurt, and you know, hopefully he's doesn't have to miss too much time. Didn't seem too serious, but it got Kawhi Leonard into the game a little bit earlier than intended, I think. And that's when things went south. So immediately after, Kawhi hits Rondo for a three, a very deep three, to put the Clippers up 10. Back and forth, not a lot going on. The Suns turn the ball over on a shot clock violation. DeAndre Ayton makes a bad pass. And then a few moments later, the presence of Kawhi, the presence of Rondo, allows Paul George to just start to take over. I mean, just flat out. The Suns bring it within four with about 7 minutes to go on a Chris Paul mid-range jumper. They also made a couple flagrant fouls of free throws when Patrick Beverley was ejected. So the momentum was not on anybody's side for a while, despite Kawhi coming back in and getting the offense going. The Clippers held their lead, but then here's when really things started to pull apart. Paul George makes a mid-range jumper with 6:21, a three with 5:15, another three with 4:46, and just completely ices the game. I mean, Kawhi hits a jumper in the middle of all of that, and at that point, the Clippers, with just under 5 minutes left, are up 14 points. So from the time Kawhi checked in with 9 minutes to go, the Clippers were up seven. They, from that point until 4:46, go on a 13-6 run and completely just take the game home. Like I said, shot making. George, Leonard, Rondo, they just did it at a higher level than the Suns. Not to say that the Suns were a bad offense tonight, not to say that they made impossible mistakes, but that's what our big story of the game today is as well. It's what it brings us to, which is the Suns' offense was not suited to adjust to the way that the Clippers play this game. We know the Clippers play a versatile lineup. They tend to play small. They switch on defense. They can isolate you. They actually sometimes just prefer to isolate you on their offensive side, and that's what happened tonight. So the Suns, you know, typically moving the ball, that 0.5 offense, everybody touching it, everybody getting involved here, that's not really what happened. Only 20 assists tonight and 14 turnovers. So an ugly ratio there. And then another sign of that is how many threes do you generate? Because teams that take a lot of threes tend to get those threes off of catch and shoot. You know, not many guys are pulling up that many times, so it's a nice sign. And the Suns only had 24 of them compared to 37, for instance, for the Clippers. So the Clippers had 26 assists, just 10 turnovers, and put up 37 threes, made 18 of them. So they looked far more like the Suns than the Suns did tonight, and that's what you look at when you see the stat lines for Booker and Paul. They combined for 37 points on 10 of 24 shooting. Neither player made a three the entire game. They only had 6 combined assists, and it's just not going to be enough. You know, the Clippers are a two-star team. Their stars showed up to the tune of 60 points and 8 assists, and both shot better than 50% from the field, whereas the Suns players, the Suns stars, just were not up to the task tonight. After the back-to-back last night and the emotional and mental and physical drain that that game probably took on them, all of that combined to where these two players and the Suns offense as a whole was just not its usual self. So again, shot-making was the story of this game. The ability to isolate, to make ugly offense work the way that the Clippers do, that was what worked for them. The Suns were not able to match it, and unfortunately a loss, bringing the Suns to 36-15. Still have plenty of ground on the Clippers, 3 entire games in the loss column. However, the Clippers do win the season tiebreaker, moving to 35-18 on their own. So another game between these two squads looming at the end of April. There will be more to say between the two of them before it is all said and done. But at the end of the day, a well-played game by the Clippers, who are now winners of 9 of 11, and the Suns' win streak ends right there. So fourth quarter shot making, the Suns unable to adjust and win with their one-on-one scoring, and the Clippers take it home. The game was actually a 6-point. The Clippers were 6-point favorites. They easily covered that and won by double digits. So a great win by the Clippers, but plenty of positives, again, to take away from the Suns' perspective. So we'll get into those in just 1 second. But first, I wanted to remind you guys and tell you about the first sponsor of today's show, my favorite protein bar and the best one on the market, the most delicious that there is, Built Bar. For instance, I'm going to recommend to you guys the peanut butter. 19 grams of protein, just 5 grams of sugar, and only 180 calories. They are perfect for any diet. They're perfect if you're trying to lose or maintain weight. And they're great for anyone who's just trying to watch what they eat, because it's a perfect pick-me-up before or after a workout, between meals, maybe to get you started in the morning. It's a perfect breakfast to get you the nutrition that you need to start your day without bogging you down too much. Built Bar is also offering a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. So go to builtbar.com right now. Use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. Again, use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. Back here with the positives from today's game. The Suns 113-103 loss to the Clippers. But again, plenty of good stuff to take away from this one as well. Quickly though, first reminder to check out Locked On Today, our national flagship show on the Locked On Podcast Network, hosted by Peter Bukowski. On Thursday morning, you got me from the arena live talking to Peter about the Suns' Jazz game, the Suns' bona fide announcing themselves as a playoff contender, and he's got you filled on every single day, NBA, WNBA, NHL, MLB, all of it right for you every morning. I'm sure you will get plenty of Masters on Friday and Monday, so enjoy that show, listen to it, and subscribe wherever you get podcasts. But let's get to these positives. And to me, one of them is Mikal Bridges. And it's going to lead me to a bigger conversation. You all know I love Mikal Bridges. There's not anything that he did in this game that necessarily is surprising. I did think it was nice in general. And what I want to highlight here is that he stepped up after a bad game, frankly, bad game against the Jazz. I mean, he played 20 minutes, almost fouled out, took just one shot. So to bounce back this way, score 20, play aggressively, he needs to do that on both ends. And here's why. Because in a lot of moments of this game, you saw defensively the Clippers putting a guy like Reggie Jackson or Rajon Rondo on Mikal Bridges, because they want to have, most of the time, Leonard was glued to Booker. You know, they can have Beverly do that. They can have George do that. And then whichever is not on Booker is going to defend Paul, and that's how they want it. So what that means is their third perimeter player, because they do play pretty small and they have a lot of guards on this roster, is going to be defending Mikal Bridges. And I'm not saying that the Suns should change everything around just for that. We know Bridges is not quite at that level where you can give him the ball and ask him to create a shot. But he was doing a good job when he caught the ball, when he had an advantage, when he was open to attack those openings, right? So he can drive on those players. If he catches the ball and the three's not there, he can drive and finish on a player like that, right? He can shoot over the top of a shorter Reggie Jackson type of player. And so he, I think, identified that, realized that, and knew that it would be big on him to bounce back and to be a factor on both ends of the floor. And what he needed to do defensively that I was so pleased with is, obviously, I mean, it goes without saying, this is a team built around two wing scoring stars. And so Bridges is going to be a pretty big part of the solution there, right? So yes, George and Leonard combined for 60, but having Bridges there, having his intuitive and smart switching where he knows, okay, I'm with defending this action with a player who's like sized with me. So whether that's Crowder or Johnson or Torrey Craig, he knows when to switch. He knows when to go under or over a screen. He's just a very smart player and is going to, I think, in a situation where the Suns are potentially playing the Clippers in a second round series, and they can game plan for the Clippers every single night, you're going to see the impact of Bridges get even bigger, because you can already see how much he adjusts possession to possession and game by game depending on who he's guarding and what the situation is. So that's going to happen more and more, and we saw good stuff out of him enough tonight to make me pretty optimistic. Honestly, Paul George just got hot. 7 of 9 from 3, I don't think that's something you can count on, and we know in the postseason that George is liable to be pretty up and down. So what we saw from Bridges, I think the process was great. The results, for the most part, were pretty good, and we can expect would be even better down the line, because again, this is really another playoff preview matchup. The Suns play both of these teams again in about 3 or 4 weeks, so a nice prelude to that, but these are going to be pretty informative as well, and Bridges did a lot to make you feel good about what he might do come playoff time. That leads me, though, to another positive, but also a question I had coming out of this game. Another positive to me was Torrey Craig, a player who continues to make his presence felt, didn't get offensive rebounds tonight, had 0 technically in the box score, but has that energy, is getting hands on loose balls, had 2 blocks tonight, had a nice, I guess it wasn't a putback, it was like a ball that got jostled loose and then ended up being tapped by Cam Johnson to Torrey Craig, actually during the stretch, the defining stretch that I just brought up. And so moments like that where in the chaos, Craig is able to make something happen, those continue to be important. But then defensively, the versatility, this wing-heavy Clippers roster is exactly where you need Craig to step in. And so that is my question. I mean, to praise him, yes, but also to wonder, why did we not see Torrey Craig more? 16 minutes tonight and played great in all of them. And he was a -2. I don't really read too much into that. It felt like they could have used his physicality, his strength, and his size, and maybe even played small. You know, Dario Saric did not have it going. We'll get into him in the last segment, like I said, or I guess at the end of this one a little bit, since we do have that locker room to close. I'll pivot to Saric in a moment, but they didn't have that option to go small. DeAndre Ayton had a great game early, but then the Clippers downsized. They took Zubats out of the lineup. We didn't see him much at all in that second half, and so Ayton didn't have an ideal place to be. You know, I guess it's not as if you're scared of Marcus Morris per se, so I don't think Ayton needs to come off the floor, but you also want to have options there, and we didn't really see Monty go to that until the Clippers already had a pretty substantial lead and a lot of momentum on their side. So I feel like we should have seen Torrey Craig more, and you know, there's other ways to go small. It doesn't have to include Craig, but Crowder was a non-factor offensively in this game, and I don't recall him making a huge impact defensively. The Clippers stars are a little bit more finesse. He tends to be better on bigger guys, stronger guys, where he can match them, whether that's in the post or, you know, in a switch in a late game, in a late clock situation, all that. So Crowder was not the right answer tonight, and so more of, you know, Paul Booker, Bridges, Cam Johnson, and Torrey Craig could have worked. Or maybe you do have Dario Saric, but you have, you know, a starters plus Saric plus Craig type of thing. You know, like, I think we just need we need to see more of the Suns using Craig as the defensive specialist, as the energy specialist that he is, and really taking advantage of that when other things are not working. So he was a big positive tonight, but at the same time, only 16 minutes, and it just didn't seem like Monty was playing all of his cards. We're going to get into that with in the locker room with Brandon to close the show, but to me, it just felt like maybe the Clippers and Ty Lue went into this one knowing how important it was. They needed to gain ground in the standings. The Suns, not so much. So maybe that's the right way to play it. I don't know. But it was easy to see that the Suns did not come into this one as desperate, as aggressive in terms of adjustments as the Clippers did. So maybe in a playoff series we might see it, but I do think these are the moments where you need to practice. Again, not to harp on it, but this is a playoff preview, right? And so it's also a dry run for the Suns, and to not see more of that tinkering with the small lineups or the versatile lineups, I think was a missed opportunity. So I will leave it at that. I did just want to hit on Dario Saric quickly. Another quiet game from him. I thought this was one he might be able to dominate a little bit more. The Clippers don't really have a backup center right now with Ibaka out and obviously Harold gone. Patrick Patterson was basically the backup five. Nicholas Batum was playing sort of a backup four. And still, Saric was unable to take advantage to make them pay. He checked in the second quarter, had a missed hook shot over Patterson, a missed three, and then a travel. Like, all of the first three times that he got the chance to score the ball. And he is a player who I think needs to have that rhythm, and he's really, really lacking it right now. So not a great way to enter the game for him with the turnovers and the missed shots, and I think that trickled down and he really wasn't impactful tonight at all. That's something on the Sun side, if you're looking for a positive, where I really do think we could see a different result. Now, Ibaka likely to be healthy come playoff time, but, you know, having Saric as a little bit of a trump card in those moments as an adjustment, a weapon there, could be pretty important. And I don't have a great answer for why he doesn't have that rhythm over the course of the past couple of weeks. I do think there was something to the way he entered the game tonight, but no matter what it is, the Suns really need him to step up down the line. That'll close us out with the regular portion of the podcast for today, guys. Please stay tuned. Listen to Brandon, aka Zona, in our final segment on Locker Room. We had a few questions from our listener, Sam. So shout out to Sam. He joined us post-game. We had another few folks trickling in and out. We're going to be trying to do those more pre- and post-game and all of that so we can tie it to a game that you guys are excited about. So be on the lookout for that. In the meantime, check out this chunk of our locker room from Thursday night and enjoy it. First, another quick break to tell you about betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and the easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports action. That includes the NBA, the NHL, and MLB, which are all in full swing. And BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. If you love The Challenge or The Bachelor, check BetOnline out. They have everything you need in terms of updated odds and props on everything across the sports and entertainment spectrum. And it's the best way to place any bet. And it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device, make an account today, and use the promo code LOCKEDON when you make your first deposit to receive a 50% welcome bonus. Again, go to betonline.ag or log in on your mobile device, make an account, and when you make your first deposit, use the promo code LOCKEDON to get a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
It looks like Sam's got a question for us. Do you guys think the bench is good enough to win in the playoffs?
Yeah. I've been thinking a ton about this. Yeah, I'd love to hear what you have to say.
So I think they're good enough. The question is, can you trust them? I don't trust them. And that's just because, like, you need to, like, prove it in the playoffs, and none of these guys have that track record yet. So do I trust them? I don't. But do I think they're capable of keeping them alive? Like, they have, you know, so many times early in the season, they carried this team. Like, there's no doubt about that. In the bubble, they really did carry the team too, to an extent. So I think there's been flashes where you want to go all in and buy them, but it just hasn't been consistent enough for me to be like completely sold. So I still think it was a mistake to not add another big, you know, because especially you're looking at Dario as your only, like, if Vayne gets in foul trouble, like there's gonna be some matchups that are just like nightmarish on the interior. And then on the contrary, games like this where they just weren't ready to adjust and downsize. So there's definitely some issues, but overall, I still think it's better than most benches. But as far as like the top tier contenders, there's a few teams that I think I would put in front of them.
The thing with me to the bench, the thing to me with the bench is like, I, like I said, I've been thinking about this a lot, and the past two nights should not make anybody super ecstatic about how this bench might fare in the playoffs. I do think Cam Johnson getting back to his early season form will be big if that can happen. And we've seen obviously with last night, 37 minutes and a couple big plays late that he looked really good. Not as good tonight, but I do think he's on his way back, and that'll help things. But just in general, I feel like getting Dario at his best is probably the most important thing, because he's at least a go-to scoring option. You can run pick and pop with him. You can post him up on mismatches. You can let him run the offense from the elbow. There's enough there where that's the most important thing. And I don't know what explains his funk right now, but he's definitely in one. And as long as he's good, I think I trust the rest, because you look at campaign, who's been the biggest question mark all year, but like right now he's basically only playing when Chris Paul's not in the game. They never play together. So if Paul is going up and playing 35, 36 minutes a night in the playoffs, maybe you can find some minutes for Booker to be the ball handler. You know, at that point, you're down to only needing to count on Payne for 8 to 10 minutes, and it starts to be a lot less of a problem. And then aside from that, it's just a bunch of specialists, right? So I think to me, they're gonna lean on the bench or the starting lineup so much in the playoffs. I think that's what we're headed for anyway. So it's like, yeah. Does Johnson give you enough spacing, and does Sharp score for you? And that's really it for me.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's like, you know, they can like give them an opportunity to, you know, step up. And if they're still playing well enough, then, and you can't take them off the court, then maybe you could extend those minutes a little bit. But
yeah,
at the end of the day, they're not going to be relying on these guys too much anyways. Because you're looking at, you know, 35, 40 minutes, like for all the starters in a playoff series. So yeah, there's not going to be a lot of time in the first place, but you know, if I do think they could have a positive impact in a hurry. So we've seen campaign is pull-up shooting, what that can do to a game when he's feeling it. And if Dario's that connecting piece, you know, there's definitely some upside to their bench, but it's just not consistent enough to where it's like, you have to play these guys.
For sure. Sam has one more for us. He says, do you guys think there's anything to Booker's numbers being better without CP3 than with him? It's been consistent all year. I don't. I mean, I really don't buy into it too much. I feel like the moments when I've needed to see the two of them figure it out, they mostly have done that, right? Like late in the Mavericks game where Booker hits that game winner, they connect on a play there. They have good chemistry in that first Nuggets game, which was pretty tight, and the one I think Booker got hurt in. They have this game. I'm talking about Utah, where they both go back and forth and score. I don't know about you, but I don't really feel like I'm too worried about the numbers there. I think it, to me, is just a testament to Booker being really good at playing basketball and, you know, starting lineups versus bench and some of that randomness. I really don't think, like, Booker is better when Chris Paul's off the floor.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like a lot of that, like, early in the season, too, when they're still figuring each other out. You could tell Booker was not playing like as assertive, I think, as he normally did, and that kind of skewed it. Now it's like they're staggering them early in the game too. So Booker's just been having these ridiculous quarters where, you know, it just so happens, you know, Paul's out while he's doing that. So that's not too concerning to me. The clutch numbers, like, I'm not like super concerned, but they're definitely worse than I thought they would be for having like two of the most clutch players in the league on your team. So somewhat concerning, something to like.
That's one area to me for sure where because Booker's always been a great clutch scorer. His efficiency and shot making in those moments, the numbers have always backed that up. And then this year, they're just way down. And that is one where I do kind of squint a little bit more, like, what's up here? Because I don't think he's getting different shots at the very ends of games, like we just saw against Utah. That step back two is that's an area of the floor he's comfortable with. And he tends to get there. He gets to that elbow. We've seen that, but it's like, I feel like some of the mid fourth quarter, getting to the end of the game, closing out teams, really putting the nail in the coffin. That's the part where I think we've seen some problems of just, you know, what are we going to run? Who's going to handle things? And how often does Booker need to be involved versus Paul just doing his thing that he's done for so many years?
Yeah, for sure. And I still think, you know, like looking at the big picture, this is kind of, it's always expected, like whenever you have like a new, any like duo of stars or trio, I guess, too, kind of fits in that category where, you know, it's going to take time. And there's obviously, they're in a championship window, so you can't be too patient, but, you know, I don't know. I think they'll figure it out.
Is there anything like, how do you feel now about this matchup in the playoffs versus what you thought going into the game? Did it change any of that for you? Did we see anything that worried you more? I kind of felt like the Clippers were a kryptonite for the Suns before any of this. It sounds like you did too. So is it just like, yeah, this team's pretty damn hard to beat? That's kind of where I am.
Yeah, no, it just reinforced it. Like, I think it'd be a very fun series. There'd probably be like 10 fights, like minimum, yeah, like per game. But
how
yeah,
many I ejections? Think over under over the course of the series, 4.5 ejections.
I'm taking the over for sure.
I think Monty would get in there, honestly. Like, I think anything's on the table.
Yeah, that'd be fun. But yeah, I think Clippers and Nuggets are the two teams. I mean, obviously, full strength Lakers are still like the team to worry about, until proven otherwise. But, you know, then the next tier, like, this is just disrespectful to Utah, I think. But at the same time, I just think Denver and LA are, the Clippers are just better. And they just pose more of a threat in a playoff series to Phoenix, especially with how Denver's been playing with Gordon. And so they're, I don't know. I think it just more reinforced what I already thought about this matchup.
Yeah, I think that's right where I am as well. It feels like this might be the second round series, though. Like,
I'm down.
It's gearing up for that. It's such a, I don't know. Is it wrong of me to say that I just don't like watching the Clippers? I love Kawhi Leonard, but ever since he came to this team, they do not entertain me. And not that that doesn't matter, but like they just do not entertain me.
Yeah, they're not as exciting as I thought they'd be, like when they were first put together. Paul George is very streaky. When he's on, I think he's fun. But even then, it's like, I don't know. There's just so much ISO ball. And Kawhi is obviously not like one of the best players in the league, but he's just kind of, I don't know.
He's methodical, right? Like, yes, he's never been flashy.
It's sort of like similar to what we talked about with Booker, where, yeah, he'll have like highlight plays like every now and then, but he's not someone that, you know, is like everyone's like dying to see. So I don't know. They're definitely it's kind of like, it's good, but it's, yeah, that was insane. It's like good, but also ugly basketball. And I just don't like it.
No, me neither. A lot of Marcus Morris, a lot of Patrick Patterson, a lot of Reggie Jackson.
Yeah.
All
that,
three players.
I mean, that is, they have the most unlikable team constructed. Like, I like Kawhi, and that's about it.
Pretty much. I like Kennard. I don't know why he can't get in the rotation. I don't know what he did to Tyloo's family, but or stole his wallet or his car or something, but he can't buy
Terrence Mann, too. I will
Terrence
Mann
is fun.
Forever
I've always
loved
Terrence Mann, yeah.
But now Rondo's there, so he's just ruined that, so that's great.
And being Paul George's friend, I guess, is the key for Reggie Jackson, getting him minutes, but all right, I think that can wrap us up. We'll use part of this on the show. Sam, thanks for joining us. I know you were on a couple of these early on with me, so Tell your friends we come on here. Tell your friends to listen to the show. And for those listening on the podcast, we do it every week. You hear me yelling about it. This is what it's like. And I will try to do more after games if there's a big game or different moments like that to give you our instant reaction. But, yeah, this was fun, man.
Yep. Thanks for coming on, Sam. And we'll see you guys next week.